Good afternoon, everyone. Today we are going to present you a topic about Apache Hawk on Kubernetes, bringing SQL and Hadoop to cloud. Thank you for coming and joining us. First of all, about us. Today, my colleague Evan Wong and I will present this topic together. My name is Lin Wen. And we both from Pivotal Beijing, China. And we are both Hadoop Hawk committers and PMC members. We are engaged in Pivotal big data products like Hawk and GreenPlum database. This is today's agenda. First of all, I will introduce what is Hawk and the Hawk architecture highlights. And then Evan will present why we bring Hawk to Kubernetes and how we do this and what we have experienced and what kind of lessons we have learned from it. The last is Q&A session. First of all, what is Apache Hawk? Apache Hawk is open source software. It is a Hadoop native SQL engine that combines the merit of GreenPlum database and Hadoop distributed storage, that is HDFS. So GreenPlum database is an enterprise OLAP system. It is widely used across the world, and GreenPlum database is very good at performance interactive queries. It has a very robust standard SQL compliance. And it has a very good optimizer. On the other hand, HDFS is good at fault tolerance and scalability. So Hawk inherits the both advancement of the two products. But unlike GreenPlum database, Hawk data are stored on HDFS. Here I list some highlights of Hawk. As I said, Hawk inherits from GreenPlum database. GreenPlum database is based on PostgreSQL, which is another very good open source database. So Hawk has a very robust SQL compliance. Hawk can support SQL 92, 99, 2003, and other OLAP extensions. Hawk can run 99 queries in TPCDS benchmark. Also, customers can use BI or visualization tools like Tableau to talk with Hawk. Hawk is a Hadoop native database. As I said, Hawk the storage is rely on HDFS, and Hawk's resource manager is integrated with Hadoop YAML. And Hawk users can use Ambari to deploy Hawk and manage the Hawk clusters and instance. Hawk has role management, which is can be integrated with Ranger. Hawk has a very good fine-grained resource management. It provides hierarchical resource queues. The resource queues are created and managed by the DDL statements. For example, database administrators can create some resource queues. Each resource queue can consume certain percentage of the whole cluster's resource. And every user in the database is assigned to some resource queue. So the user's query will use resources following the definition of the resource queue. Hawk also has an elastic SQL engine. In some traditional MPP databases, no matter the query cost is large or small, the database always uses the same resource to run this query. It's a big waste of the resource. But Hawk can run queries and allocation resources for the queries based on the query cost. If the query cost is very large, for example, it involves many tables join and the table is very large, it will use more resources. Hawk has a world-class parallel optimizer. It is called GPOCA, which is also open source software. Hawk can support dynamic add, node add and shrink without downtime of the system. Hawk users can use Madlib to do more advanced machine learning and data mining functionalities. Let's quick go through the history of Hawk. Actually, Hawk is started from 2011. At first, it's just a prototype project named GOH, Green Plum on HDFS. This prototype project shows that the combine of the two products can gain a lot of performance, good performance, and have good scalability. So we continue this work, and in 2012 we have version 1 alpha release. In 2013 and 14, we have version 1 GA release and gain a lot of enterprise customers from the world. In 2015, Hawk has a version 2 beta release, and at that time, Pivotal decided to donate Hawk to Apache community. So Hawk become the incubating project of Apache. 2016 is a very significant year to Hawk. We design and implement Resource Manager and Elastic Computing Engine. At this moment, Hawk can be considered to be to achieve the separation of computing and storage. In 2017 and 18, we continue to do more things, such like performance enhancement, security enhancement. We support HDFS TDE, that is a transparent data encryption. So since the Hawk became the incubating project of Apache, it always in a healthy status. We have very stable release for several months. We have some new committers and the PMC members join. So also with the effort of all the contributors and the guide of mentors, how in 2000 August of this year, Hawk graduated as a ASF top level project. It's a very big achievement to Hawk. We are very happy about this. By now, Hawk has about 1,500 commits, 45 committers, and PMC members. The latest version, also the first version after graduation, is 2400. It contains some latest features, like a pluggable vectorized execution engine. This feature can leverage the CPU cache to improve the execution performance. Another feature is called Blue Filter for hash join. It is to improve the performance of hash join. Use a technique named Blue Filter. The two links, one is the homepage of Hawk, another is the GitHub of Hawk. So let's take a look at the Hawk high-level architecture. Hawk is a typical MPP database share-nothing architecture. So Hawk cluster contains three kinds of node: a primary master node, a standby master node, and some segment nodes. They are connected by high-speed networks. Master is the brain of the whole cluster. Standby master provide high availability for the primary master, and the segments are workers to execute queries. So we can see from part to part. Segments, in terms of deployment, a Hawk segment instance is installed and running in a physical node or virtual machine. Segment the instance will for query executor processes to execute the query. And Hawk primary master and the standby master are synced will write a head log shipping. So whenever any change to the metadata of primary master, the log of this change will ship to the standby master. So once the standby master gets the log, it will replay the log and keep the latest status with the primary master. Once the primary master goes down or fails, the DBU administrators will activate the standby master to be the new primary master and accept new queries from the customers. Let's take a look at the master's internals. Hawk master contains some components that a database should have, such like a parser, optimizer, transaction management, catalog service. Besides that, there is a component named query dispatcher. The task of this component is to dispatch the plan, the parallel plan to the segments, so the segment can execute the plan and gather the results to the master. There is a component named fault tolerance services. The segment will send the heartbeat message for every second to the master node, so the master node can know every status of the segment. Once the master cannot get the heartbeat message from a segment for a long time, for example, 5 minutes or 10 minutes, which can be configured, then the master thinks the segment is done, and it will remove the segment from the resource pool. There is another very important component named resource manager. Resource manager mainly deal with three things. The first one is resource pool management. The second one is resource queue management. The last one is resource scheduling. When concurrent queries comes, the resource manager will allocate the resource for each queue based on the definition of the resource queue and the current available resources in the resource pool. So the resource of allocation for the queries are determined by many factors. All these logics are being dealt with in the resource manager. Hawk also can use a framework called the Pivotal External Framework to access the external data, such like Hive. So it don't need to load the data into Hawk itself. Here is how a query is executed in Hawk. Let's start from the left picture. And the upper side is the master side, and the below side is a segment. So whenever a query comes, the Hawk master will fork a query dispatcher process. We call it a QD process. QD process will serve this request. QD will process this query step by step. First, there is a parser to pass the SQL statements into a parse tree. Then the planner and optimizer to transform the parse tree into a plan. A plan may have different execution plans. For example, you need many table joins. The different join order of the table, there are different query plans. So there are different query plans that will have a different query cost. The optimizer is to find the best query plan for this query. Before this plan was dispatched to segment to execute, there is a very important step, that is resource negotiation. The dispatcher will ask resource manager some resources to execute this query. If Hawk runs with yarn, Hawk can run with or without yarn. If we run with yarn, the Hawk resource manager will ask resources from yarn's resource manager, that is containers. So once the query dispatcher gets the resources from resource manager, it will dispatch the plan to the segment. Segment will fork a lot of query executor processes to handle this, to execute this query. So there is a new term here named a virtual segment. What is a virtual segment? Virtual segment, first of all, it is a resource unit between QD and the resource manager. So the query dispatcher to ask resource manager by virtual segment. For example, I want QD may say to resource manager, I want to 10 virtual segments and to run this query. Also, the virtual segment is also an execution unit. A virtual segment is sometimes usually has some QE process to execute this to execute one query. It behaves like a container of this QE. The query the virtual segment number also determines the degree of parallelism of a query. If more virtual segment allocated for this query, the more parallel QE processes will run for this query. So it also stands for the degree of parallelism. Let's take a look at what does a plan look like. That is the right picture. So a plan tree is a binary tree. Each rectangle stands for an operation or operator. For example, this is a SQL statement which involves two tables join, and one table has some conditions. We want to get the count of the result. So this is a plan for this query, and the different colors means different slice. So what is a slice? Slice is a portion of the plan. A query plan is cut into slices by a boundary. This boundary is called motion. Motion is an operation involves moving the tuples between segments doing query processing. There are three types of motion: redistribution motion, broadcast motion, and gather motion. If you know a little about MapReduce, the motion operation is very similar to the shuffle in MapReduce. Let's take a look at this example. So, firstly, it will scan the part table. It's a scan operator. Then broadcast these tuples to all the segments. There is a hash operation to hash the tuples. And on the left side, the hash join will scan the line item tuples and join the two tables together. Since we want to know the count of the result, so there above the hash join operator, there is an aggregate. We want to know the numbers of this result. Since this plan will execute the parallelly, so on every segment. So there will be a gather motion to gather all the results to the master node. So on the top of this graph, there is a gather motion. So that is another slice. And finally, there is an aggregate operator to gather all the motion to the master and represent to the user. So, I like to talk about more about Hawk Resource Manager. Actually, Hawk can run in two modes, standalone modes and with YAML mode. Standalone mode means Hawk manages the available resource by itself. Segment reports its capability. It includes CPU cores, memory size, via heartbeat message to master. So master knows the whole cluster's capability and maintains a resource pool of it. If Hawk runs with a YAML mode, that is, the things are different. Since YAML is a two-level scheduling, the first level, application master requests resources from YAML's resource manager. And the second level, when the application master gets the resource, and it will allocate the resource to its tasks. Similarly, Hawk resource manager behaviors like application master. Firstly, it requests resources from YAML and allocate these resources to queries. After query is finished, Hawk resource manager will not immediately release these containers to YAML. It will cache these resources or containers for a while. By default, it is 10 minutes, which also can be configured. These containers will be used for next coming query. This can be reduced the latency and the communication frequency with YAML, so it can improve the performance a little bit. So that is pretty much about the Hawk and highlights and architecture and internals. So my colleague Evan will present why we bring Hawk to Kubernetes and how we experienced.
OK, thanks, Ben. Let's introduce how to bring Apache Hawk to cloud and make Hawk as a cloud database. Why we have this idea? Why we want to migrate Hawk to cloud? It's because the flexibility and the elasticity of Hawk architecture. Storage computing separation is an important feature of Hawk architecture. Hawk use HDFS as user data storage layer, and we can make HDFS as a service. Hawk also has Elastic Query Execution Engine. It can dynamically determine how many query resources will be involved during query execution based on query cost. It doesn't depend on any data distribution on HDFS. Also, Hawk segment is stateless. Stateless means segment can expand or shrink dynamically based on workload. All those features are mainly advantage for Hawk to be a cloud database, but those are not enough. Cloud database should have some new requirement. The first one is cloud database should be a service. It means database should have a unique address for user to access. And the user don't need to care about any cluster membership. He just need, hey, here's my query, give me the result. The second one is cloud database could be deployed on any infrastructure. Maybe your own data center or public cloud, like Google Cloud, AWS, Azure, or private cloud, like VMware, all the same. The next one is cloud database should have a unified and faster cluster provision than traditional database. The last requirement is cloud database should have no DBA. It doesn't need DBA to monitor cluster and handle exception. This task should be handled by itself. If Hawk commit all these requirements, it can be a cloud database. Fortunately, the Kubernetes can help us. Here is the Kubernetes overview. Basically, Kubernetes is a container orchestration platform. That means it can coordinate all the container applications on it. The target of Kubernetes is to help application to be cloud native. That's exactly what we need. Kubernetes abstract the hardware, and the application run it could not care about any underlying infrastructure, no matter it's bare metal or any cloud provider. Besides Kubernetes provide a container management feature, it also can provide a building block to help develop or operate container application. We can call Kubernetes a cloud operation system. Kubernetes is an open source project, has a very strong community. So Kubernetes is the best choice of Hawk to be integrated with. I didn't suppose everybody here know much about the Kubernetes, so I will give a brief introduction. Kubernetes follows the classic master-slave architecture. It has master and slave. Both are called node. The slave node is also called worker node. And its responsibility is to run container workload. And the master node is a control plane. Coordinate all the worker node. Pod is the most important resource in Kubernetes world. Applications are running in container, and container is packaged into pod. Pod is likely traditional virtual machine. It has its own IP address. Service is another resource. It's like a router, and can define root policy for accessing pod. Service is also can act as a load balancer if the backend has a connection of pods. The middle column is for storage. If you want to store some configuration inference, you can use ConfigMap. ConfigMap is a key value pair collections. If you want storage data or files, you can use persistent volume. Since the data in container will be lost if the container finish or restart, persistent volume can make sure that the life cycle of data is dependent on the life cycle of container. There are lots of persistent volume types, such as NFS, hosted path, or local persistent volume, and or some cloud storage. If your application or store data in persistent volume, you should claim the resource by persistent volume claim object. The red column is controller. Deployment controller has a parameter called replica. It makes sure the pods in it with the replica number will be maintained under it. If some pod failed, it will restart them and make sure the pod number is exactly equal to replica. Stateful-side is a similar controller with deployment. It also has replica parameter. Just as name size, stateful-side is designed to stateful application. The pods in the stateful-side has an unchanged network address and the outer name. Also, it has its own persistent volume. Daemon set is another controller. It can make sure each replica is run on one node and is suitable to run some node-level task. Based on this Kubernetes resource, the simplest idea is putting Hawk component into container and run the container on the Kubernetes. Here's the way. Since master and standby need to store some database catalog, so they are stateful. So we use stateful to deploy master and standby. The replica is two. One is for master, and the other is for standby. Hawk segment is stateless. We use deployment to manage them. The replica n is equal to cluster size. We already deploy Hawk component on the Kubernetes, but how user can access it? We use service object to define the database endpoint. User can use this endpoint to that database. By default, the service will point to master pod address. If master failed, we can active standby and change the service config to redirect to standby master. Hawk configuration info are stateful. Different Hawk cluster will have different configuration files. So we use config maps to store them. One item of config map is related to one configuration files. The key is file name, the value is file content. For Hawk storage, we use local persistent volume from performance perspective. Besides Hawk, we have HDFS service. There are two ways for Hawk to use HDFS. The one is to use HDFS service from cloud provider, like Google Data Proc service. If we adopt this proposal, it means we will lose the data locator info totally, because Hawk segment cannot co-allocate with HDFS data node anymore. So we package HDFS component into container too, and run them on the Kubernetes. The stateful side for name node and daemon side for data node. Here is the picture of our deployment version 1. In summary, the DBA will create all the Kubernetes resource on the cluster. The HDFS, stateful site for name node, daemon site for data node, and service for HDFS entry point. And Hawk cluster, deployment replica n for segment, and the stateful site replica 2 for master standby, the service for database endpoint. Also, all the data include HDFS data and the Hawk data use local persistent volume. It's very easy. The advantage of our deployment is we deployed Hawk once and Hawk can run everywhere. And by leveraging Kubernetes resource, deployment or stateful site, if some pod fails, no matter master pod or segment pod, the Kubernetes will get the event and recover them. So the fault tolerance system of Hawk can be easier than before. The master don't need to recover segment if segment failed. By comparing with prior cloud requirement, this kind of Hawk is far from cloud database. We still need a DBA involved. DBA need to have maintained each cluster's resource spec files. And if master failed, they also need to manually active standby and change the service object to redirect to standby. Also, for cluster expansion, we still need DBA. Also, there is some database operation knowledge. For example, we don't want master pod and standby pod on the same physical node, but we can't control it because it depends on Kubernetes scheduler. The scheduler don't have such knowledge. And for Hawk management utilities, their usage on Kubernetes is a little bit different. we cannot use database service IP to SSH if we want to run some tools inside Hawk cluster. We should query the master port IP and use that IP to SSH. At the same time, if we want to stop the cluster, how should we do? Stopping Hawk process in container will cause the container restart. We can't stop it. In our solution, we change the replica value of stateful site and the deployment to zero. The zero replica means there is no active pod resource. And when we restart cluster, we restore the replica value to the original one. It works, but the time cost is huge. We need to fix all these issues in order to make Hawk a cloud database. Kubernetes has a rich extension functionality. We can extend the built-in resource and the controllers. We can create custom resource, and this resource are the same as built-in resource. We can use Kubernetes API or command lines like kubectl to interact with them. For custom controller, we also can call it operator. Operator can collaborate with custom resource and encode some domain knowledge for applications. Here is Hawk custom resource and operator. For Hawk custom resource, the candy is Hawk cluster. In the spike, class size means segment number. Class port is the database internal endpoint. We can save some configuration inference in the user guard section. In the last, we can specify the resource limit of master and segment. Currently, we support CPU and memory. So if we create these spec files, the operator will get noticed by event, and it will create the related Kubernetes resource for us. For example, in this spec file, the operator will create the stateful site for master and standby automatically, and then create the segment default deployment with the replica number equals class size, and create service with the endpoint of cluster port, and so on. So the cluster provision is automatic. Also, we can add some DBA operation knowledge into operator. The operator can help Hawk automatically everything. For pod scheduling, there are some ways. If we want to place Hawk master and standby on different node, we can use node affinity or anti-affinity feature. But for multiple Hawk cluster, if we want to balance different master on different node, it will be very conflict. We can use custom scheduler. Custom scheduler is also another extension to Kubernetes. We can write our own standalone scheduler server and replace the system scheduler. Also, we can write the scheduler extender and add our own pod scheduling logic within the system scheduler. We prefer scheduler extender. This file is our scheduler extender configurations. The scheduler name is Hawk scheduler, and the can is kube scheduler configurations. We put our pod scheduler policy into the policy.json file. So we can control the Hawk pod scheduling. there are some other components to improve the user experience of Hawk on cloud. The first one is Hawk Configure Service. It can help Hawk to assign the global configurations to different clusters and make sure there's no conflict about it. For example, different Hawk clusters will have different internal port and different dev data directory. The other one is Hawk Proxy. Hawk Proxy is a front-end process and the supervisor inside each Hawk container. Also, it's a HTTP command service. It can receive the remote command to the action and return the result. For executing command, we don't need to SSH to container. We just set the command to proxy, and proxy will give the result. For cluster restart issue, in this scenario, we just send the restart command to proxy, and proxy restart the Hawk process. Since the Hawk proxy is the front-end process, so the container will not restart. Compared with previous modifying replica method, it's more efficient. Here is the improved version of our deployment. The proxy is the supervisor and the parent process of Hawk process. It's inside each Hawk containers. Also, we deploy Hawk operator and config service on the Hawk on Kubernetes cluster. If you want a Hawk cluster, you can write your own cluster manifest and apply it. So the Kubernetes will give you an active cluster. You don't need to care about anything about operations. Kubernetes automate everything. During our journey of migrating Apache Hawk to cloud, there are some lessons we learned. The first one is resource management is the most important thing for containering applications. We need to care about the resource limit setting and pod scheduling. If you don't care about the resource limit, there is no quality of your service. If you don't care about the resource scheduling, the resource will not be balanced for your applications. The next one is try your best to make component as a service and operate each service independently. The microservice architecture is the best choice for cloud-native applications. The last one is care about the efficiency of application management utilities. Think about it in the beginning when you want to migrate legacy application to cloud. So that's all. Thank you.